welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted Brewer Show. I'm your host, Ted Brewer, and Austin will not be with us tonight, and Sharon Brewer will be with me tonight in just a few moments. We'll have her hooked up and ready to go. So we're going to have a lot of fun with the show tonight, but I got a lot of very important topics to cover with you tonight. What's happened is I did a show with Doug Hagman on Friday night, and we went into a lot of detail on different things that was going on. And one thing that I touched briefly on Friday night was the problem with Deutsche Bank. And Deutsche Bank has now come out and said and has admitted that they have been manipulating the currency markets with silver and obviously with gold now for many, many years. And they're going to roll over and tell the rest of the world who else is doing this. So what's interesting about this is Ron Kirby did a show, did a video, and it's called Dollar Devaluation Clock About to Strike Midnight. And it's with the US Day watchdog Greg Hunter. And I listened, and Alex and Forbidden Knowledge TV sent me the link with Alexandra Bruce. You guys need to all sign up for her emails, by the way. Alexandra Bruce, ForbiddenKnowledgeTV.net. They're totally free, and you'll get a lot of this information. But I want to read you what Alexandra wrote. She wrote a synopsis of this one-hour video that I watched earlier today. And here's what she wrote. Deutsche Bank admissions, just the tip of the iceberg. This past week, it emerged in federal court that the Deutsche Bank has been manipulating the silver market as part of their settlement. They agreed to expose the other banks doing the same. Now, these will be all Rothschild banks doing this, all controlling our Federal Reserve, all controlling our Treasury. A month ago, Rob Kirby from Kirby Analytics had appeared on the Greg Hunter's USA Watchdog, where he forecast something like this was in terms of an exposure of this criminal activity. The rigging of the metals market is a game that Anglo-Americans, Eccentric and Epicenter comes out of the U.S. Treasury and the Federal Reserve Bank. Now I'm going to stop for 1 second. I'm going to explain this. Back in 1933, the United States was bankrupt, and Franklin Delano Roosevelt seized the gold. In 1934, this gold was put into a giant fund to run the Exchange Stability Fund. Now, the Exchange Stability Fund also runs the U.S. Treasury, which is the Rothschild banking cartel. This is what they don't want you to understand. Then she goes on to say, they're the ones who give the marching orders to the banks, who now find themselves caught up in a web in which they are really just doing the grunt work for the officialdom, which is the Rothschild banking cartel / Vatican / CIA / Bank of England. I added that. Historically, precious metals have been the best alternative to fiat money, and the U.S. dollar has been the world's reserve currency used to settle all international trade accounts. The inflationary practice of printing excessive U.S. dollars, also known as quantitative easing, has historically created conditions for the prices of gold and silver to be bid up. And indeed, the demand for gold and silver has gone up astronomically over the past 5 to 7 years. However, Kirby says the sale of paper, gold, and silver has been used to suppress this demand and to make it appear that people are still happy with dollars rather than the precious metals. What's happened is the COMEX has stopped settling the accounts in metals and are only settling the accounts in paper. So it doesn't matter if you buy X amount of contracts in gold or silver, you get fiat dollars in return because basically the COMEX is broke. Then it goes on to say, he says that what's happening today is a replay of what happened during the Vietnam War when the U.S. was printing too many dollars, causing countries like France in 1971 to redeem their dollar holdings with gold to which the dollar had been pegged since 1882. The dollar soon defaulted on its promise to be transferable to a specific value in gold, and President Nixon officially took the dollar off the gold standard at the time. Now, what they could have done, they could have reevaluated the gold prices in the open market and not held them at an artificially low level of $35 an ounce. That's what they should have done. Today, we see China, India, and Russia, and others making moves to protect themselves from the systemic risk of the overprinted dollar. It has become clear to many that a dollar's reserve status is an anachronism which cannot last, raising important questions not addressed for over a century since the Federal Reserve inception. It's just a matter of time before the entire currency system will face a radical reset reflecting today's reality. This is something for which the financial world is unprepared. Two payment platforms have dominated a large-scale set of settlements, the European SWIFT program, and now China setting up their own SWIFT program. Over the past 2 weeks, the U.S. Federal Reserve bankers have held secret meetings followed by a meeting with the president and then vice presidents, and Kirby, this is the guy who speaks, seeing this very serious. The Fed appears to be planning to mitigate the damage which they themselves have caused with their manipulation of the U.S. dollar price against precious metals. So he's saying there could be a dramatic reduction in the value of the dollar. In other words, the gold and silver could go up in price immediately within the next couple of weeks. Kirby calls the members of the Federal Reserve buffoons who have done their constituency a great disservice, which is what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to put us into slavery. That's what they've done through debt. Kirby's forecast gets worse. He says when banks have nothing else to do, they take us to war, a world war. Are we going to have a nuclear war? The group of people who have seized power in America have no heart, no soul, because they're Luciferians. Remember that. They're Satanists. They worship Lucifer. He's not saying this. I'm saying this. They have no allegiance to America. America's not run by Americans anymore. Look at the absolutely preposterous antics that are going on in the electoral process right now. Republicans and Democrats don't care who the Americans want to be president. They've canceled caucuses and primaries in how many states already? Kirby says that everything is on the table right now, at the very least, hyperinflation. He knows that in the interest of national security, that the leaders of the U.S. intelligence agencies can grant waivers to the biggest banks, whereby they would not have to reveal what they have on their books, which means that they have, if they're questioned by regulatory agencies, they can simply lie or not answer. And he's saying that there's going to be a massive, massive inflation in gold and silver momentarily in the next couple of weeks. Now, this Kirby guy apparently is a gold broker, and he doesn't sell coins. He sells gold by the metric ton to like huge investors like countries. So he's saying that this is what he has gotten from the street and what he feels is fixing to happen and with everything that's going on. Now, whether or not this is just a ruse to push up metal prices from what he's saying, I don't know. It hasn't done much at all as far as the metal prices out of China right now. In fact, that's the first thing I called up to see. He's already got 100,000 views on this. I want to take a look at it right quick to see what was going on with the gold and the silver. And what's interesting is right now in Asia, the market, it was down 63, Hang Seng down 21, so it's pretty stable. And then we're trying to pull up the gold charts right now, and they're having a tendency to slow down right now. But the gold looked really stable to me today. It was about 1230, and now it's bumped up to about 1238 an ounce. So here's what I suggest to you. If you have not yet bought precious metals, go to Steve Quayle's website, Renaissance Precious Metals. Steve's not paying me to do this, okay? I just know of Steve's reputation through Doug Hagman, and he's a good guy. He's a Christian. And you can go ahead and get some precious metals, get some coins, get some silver, get whatever you can. You know, don't find yourself in a situation that the gold is not going to be available to you and the dollars won't buy the gold anymore. Don't allow yourself to get in that situation. I think you should get yourself some storable food. You know, at healthmasters.com, we sell that. And we sell the stuff that doesn't have the soy in it, that doesn't have the GMOs in it, it doesn't have the chemicals in it, it doesn't have the trans fats in it. It's a great product, and that's what we personally would use in case we had some type of food shortage in the United States. My mom, being raised and being born in Germany in 1916 and having gone through the Weimar Republic, told me that they were bartering. Everything was barter. You bartered for food, you bartered for cigarettes, you bartered for nylons, you bartered for chocolate. Everything was bartering. Everybody had gardens in their own backyard. Everybody was growing their own food. She said it was that bad when the Weimar Republic, she said it went to $40 billion for one loaf of bread. She said it got that bad. 40 billion euro by marks. So guys, you got to get some ammunition. You have to defend yourself. I would suggest that, you know, you have an escape plan if you live in a large city to get out, and realize that we don't have fear of any of this stuff. We just need to be aware of what some of these top analysts are saying, and we need to understand that we're not born of a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind through Jesus Christ, and that we need to stand firm in our resolution to know that God's on the throne, prayer still changes things, and though 1,000 have fallen on my one side and 10,000 on my other side, no harm shall touch any of the ones around me. See, that's what you got to stand on, the 91st Psalm, because the truth is, there's coming a time in this country when it's going to be awful. And so, guys, listen to me. Please, store up some vitamins, at least multiples. At least get a year supply of multiple vitamins. Go to healthmasters.com. We have the highest quality multiples. They last for several years. At least have something available so you can supplement your food intake. Because, you know, the FDA is coming after the vitamins. They're trying to poison us with GMO foods. All of this stuff is reaching ahead. The movie Vaxxed is selling out wherever it goes now. People have finally had enough of what's going on with the vaccines and the autism. Finally enough, people are actually opening up their eyes and they've stopped being stupid, and they're actually making decisions now to not to immunize these children with all these poisons and these vaccines. So, Sharon, what do you think about what they're doing as far as the... Sharon, thank you for being on with me tonight. What do you think was... Well, no, I didn't want to try to include you in any of that conversation with the gold and the silver ones. But the point is, I mean, we just had a grandbaby. I wanted to announce that. On Friday afternoon at 1:43, my son Austin, my co-host of the show 5 days a week, he had a little baby boy, 7 pounds, 11 ounces. He will have blonde hair and blue eyes because they both have blonde hair and blue eyes. And so he's already beautiful. But, of course, we're grandparents saying that. Grandparents always say that. And he's doing great. They're nursing him. He did not get the hepatitis shot. He was birthed through a midwife center, not in a hospital. She had one of the easiest deliveries she's ever done. Lana was in labor for 1.5 hours. That was it. And so now they're so excited. They've got a little boy. And, you know, so they're just excited that they get to raise this child with organic food, non-GMOs, and they're going to make a decision. And I'm sure it will include no immunizations because they know what these immunizations do. What do you think about all this, Sharon? What do you think about the natural childbirth? You were at the birth. I was not there. She's my daughter-in-law, so they did not want me in the birth room. I can't blame her for that.
That would have been very appropriate.
No. But tell me what you think. What happened? Tell me what the midwife said about all this.
Well, Ted, what's so amazing is I got to experience from a different perspective, and I have seen how Austin and Lana walk the walk and talk the talk like we do. I mean, we live this. We eat the way we tell people, even more stricter. We take the supplements. We do everything. We don't immunize. Everything we tell everybody, everything we tell you guys, we do it even more. And it was just so neat to see how God honored that with those two. And I mean, she was in labor, but then when she got to the birthing center, maybe 45 minutes to an hour of pushing, and the midwife was kind of perplexed. She said, wow, this has been a very easy delivery. I would like to have more of these. I've never really had one this easy. And, of course, to land it wasn't easy because it was her first, and she didn't know what to expect. But the midwife was even impressed, and this is a midwife, and no shots, no nothing. And he's so strong, he's so healthy, he's holding his head up. It's just amazing what happens if you do what God has intended for you to do. God will bless you, and you don't make this a disease, Ted. It's turned into people making this into a disease, and it's a really wonderful thing. I consider myself privileged to be able to experience it. But not only that, to have two kids, a daughter-in-law and a son, that have followed in our footsteps and really live this, and now their generation and their friends are asking them questions and asking what they should do, and they're carrying on what you and I have done into another new generation, and they're just as passionate, they're just as excited, they're just as committed as we are, and I just consider that such a blessing.
I did too, Sharon. In fact, it's interesting. Lana had a few problems with a little bit of morning sickness. We figured out how to fix that. So they've got that disappeared with her, and then she had this perfectly uneventful pregnancy after that. And so it's been pretty exciting. But, you know, we've learned a lot, though. I mean, here's another test. Here's an article from ABC News, which blows my mind. ABC News is actually reporting on this, which is owned by the interlocking corporate directorships of the Rothschild banking cartel and the Bank of England, the Vatican, all the rest of these boys. In tests, vitamin D shrinks breast cancer cells. I mean, now they're saying that vitamin D can kill human cancer cells. I mean, this is not me. This is Susan Clark from ABC News saying this on the report. The results fall short of an immediate cure for cancer. They always got to make sure they say that, but they are encouraging, medical professionals say. Said that what they've done, they've been studying the effects of vitamin D for 25 years, and they found that when vitamin D is put into the body in high enough concentrations, that within a few days, half of the cancer cells shriveled up and just died. Dr. Welsh said that the vitamin has some of the same effect as a drug used for breast cancer treatment. What happens is the vitamin D enters the cells and triggers the cell death process. What it actually does, since these guys don't want to go into the detail, it activates the macrophage molecule. The macrophage goes in there and destroys it. Tumors in mice are disappearing. The vitamin's effects were even more dramatic on breast cancer injected into mice. Tumors just disappeared. And so, you know, what's interesting about this is that, you know, Health Masters carries a really good D3 K2 supplement. Now, the reason I tell you that you should never take D3 by itself is D3 can cause arterial calcifications if it gets too high. And so always remember, you have to take vitamin K2 with it. That stops that calcification. very, very important that people realize that. Another good article that's been coming out now is on vaccine research and on Vaxxed Movie. The Vaxxed Movie now is selling out in California. It's selling out all over the country where it's being shown. Robert De Niro, as I reported on Friday night, has come out now and said everybody needs to see this movie. He finally had an epiphany. I think his wife probably chewed him out. He finally started realizing he's almost 80 years old, and there's absolutely no reason with an 18-year-old son who has autism that they can't not talk about this. So I'm glad he's finally doing all of that. Let me run over a couple more news articles with you real quick and see if you've already covered.
Real quick, though, Ted, do you think it's going to come to our area? I mean, how do we find out if it's coming to our area, the movie, Vax?
Oh, I have no idea. I mean, what's going to happen is if they can get a major distributor to pick it up, they'll send it out. And that's how it works. You see, they can send copies of the movie to local theaters, but that doesn't get a lot of people to see the movie. What has to be done is you have to have a major distributor come in, pick it up, and send it to like 2,000 or 1,500 theaters at the same time. And then they can do a big promo on TV, on national news, say, go see this movie, the movie that they said you couldn't see, that Robert De Niro changed his mind on with his 18-year-old son. You got to see this movie. That would make the movie happen. But again, the media is controlled, and a lot of these movie theaters are controlled by the same people who own the drug companies. They don't want this thing being seen. So if you could find it in your area, I'm sure that if you just Google, how do I see the Vaxxed Movie, you'll find out where it's going to be showing. I mean, it was stopped. They were going to show it in Texas, and the mayor, somebody actually stopped them from showing it. I mean, it was ridiculous. So it's one of those big deals. Also, we're having another whole series of earthquakes that could actually herald a new megaquake, according to top scientists. April 2016 geology, a series of powerful quakes which struck Southeast Asia and South America in the past week could be followed by a mega quake in the near future, scientists have claimed. And what happened is we have our friends, in fact, Lana, the lady who had the baby, daughter-in-law, our family, her father and mother are missionaries in Ecuador, she's here, the mother-in-law's here, but he was there in Ecuador, and he said the entire building started shaking, and everything started falling off the shelves, and walls were moving, and everything else. It was 7.8 on the Richter scale. That is huge. And remember, according to the United States government, the number of large magnitude earthquakes striking the planet have doubled in 2014, and again, it's way up again in 2016. I mean, 235 dead in Ecuador on the coast. And everybody's wondering where the next strike's going to be. 7.8 is monstrous. In Japan, some are sleeping in their cars after two nights of earthquakes that have killed 41 in Japan. And, you know, so in Arizona, there have been earthquakes. In Arizona, an earthquake swarm in the northwest part of the state. Nearly two dozen small earthquakes have hit in 10 days. They're happening in the remote northwest part of Arizona. So, you know, everybody's really getting concerned about these earthquakes and what's happening, you know, in space. And they're not sure if something's coming towards us, a planetoid. Something seems to be affecting a lot of this, especially in the Ring of Fire, which is in the Pacific Ocean. So,
going on, Ted? What do you think? I mean,
HARP can trigger earthquakes. I've done entire shows on that. And
around
HARP,
the world, though, at once?
Yes. They've got multiple HARP sites everywhere. They can hit it at a certain wave band frequency, and the wave band frequency, I forgot what the hertz range is, and they usually it's, you know, 8 to 10 kilometers underground. They can actually trigger these quakes, and it's actually very easy. This is old technology they could do. I just don't know why they're doing it unless they're just trying to create some kind of giant mega quake to try to obfuscate what they're doing with the banking communities right now, which is something that they would be quite willing to do. Saudi Arabia is now threatening to, if they said, they're saying now, if the 28 pages of the 9/11 reporters are released, which is about Saudi, they are threatening to sell off hundreds of billions of dollars of assets if this is made public to the people in America. In fact, officials in Saudi Arabia reportedly told the Obama administration they'll sell hundreds of billions of dollars of American assets if Congress passes a bill that would allow the Saudi government to be held responsible for any role in the 9/11 attacks. This is the 9/11 report. On the evening of President Obama's visit to Saudi Arabia, the New York Times said the White House has been lobbying Congress to block the bill's passage, and that the threat from Saudi Arabia had been the subject of intense talks. I mean, they've got $750 billion in treasury securities and other assets in the United States. I mean, this is crazy what they're actually threatening to do. Because remember, 15 of the 19 men who hijacked the four planes were Saudi Arabians. And they know that. and the 9/11 report reported on all that, but it was all redacted so nobody would know. Remember, the military has shut down all flights, all commercial flights, any personal commercial flights were shut down after 9/11, except for the Saudi royal family. They were allowed, there was like a giant bunch of, you know, private jets leaving the United States all at once as these guys were hitting the road because they knew what they had been involved in. I believe the Mossad, working with Saudi Arabia, working with rogue elements of the United States government, are responsible for this. In fact, on Hagman's show this past week, Sharon, I don't know what you're doing, baby. You're making too much noise, honey. You're messing with my microphone. But on the Hagman show on Friday night, I talked about 9/11 as a human sacrificial ritual, and I did part of that show on Doug's show on Friday night. But last week, on Sunday night, I did it on Dave Hodges' show, and we talked about it, went into detail, a lot more detail than we did on Friday night with Doug, because we had so much more material to cover on it. But 9/11 was a mess. I remember when that big demon face appeared, Sharon, in the smoke above the buildings? You know, a lot of people think that that's really what was conjured up, and it was part of the black magic ceremony
black
and what
magic.
They were doing. That's exactly right. So I find it pretty interesting because, you know, we're in a situation now where Saudi is threatening us. China's selling securities. But remember, China dumped a whole bunch, almost $1 trillion of securities onto the market that just disappeared. And a lot of people said what happened is they were sucked into the exchange stability fund and they were not allowed to be seen by the general markets because they did not want to panic the bond markets. So that's what I personally think happened to it. I think that the Rothschilds are covering all of this, and they're just putting money on the sides on whatever they're trying to do. Here's another interesting article. This is we talked about this last week a little bit, but it's the cell towers across the USA are broadcasting brain resonance frequencies to disrupt human minds. I went into detail about this on Hagman's show on Friday night, and this former DARPA scientist has actually come out and said this. And they're using what they can use, what's called lily waves, and they can broadcast it right across the electrical grid, and they can actually entrain your brain to accept data and information and actually program you from the electrical wiring in your house, not to mention what they can do with the Gwen Towers and all of the other things that are also, you know, so prevalent in our society today, along with all of the crazy chemtrails that they're spraying all over us. Here's another interesting article from UBS. United Bank of Switzerland says junk bond bubble, just a slowdown in it, slight slowdown, it'll pop. And it said that the default rates could reach record levels. They're warning us, basically, we're having another housing crisis again and another junk bond bubble crisis. It says investors that lend to the U.S. junk bond companies aren't being compensated for the looming credit shakeout that could push defaults to record highs, according to UBS Group AG Credit. There's a bubble in speculative credit grade. This is exactly what happened before in 2005, 6, and 7 when it all finally came apart. So the spreads are tightening. Even as the credit spreads tighten in the second half of the year, recovery rates or how much of the principal investors get back when there's a default have slipped. J.P. Morgan Chase & Company strategist led by Peter Aketatifi wrote in March 31 note, the measure for high-yield bonds during the last 12 months was 22.8%, down from 25.2% at the end of last year, well below the 25% annual average of the 41.4%. I mean, this is getting, we're having a massive growth slowdown, the economy starting to contract, and if this happens, there's going to be exponential risk, according to UBS, in a contraction of this market, and a complete collapse. It's going to make 2007 look like a fairy tale. It's going to be that bad. And so, guys,
yeah,
listen.
Funny. I mean, it's sad because, Ted, so many people don't even know what's going on. I mean, with the housing, they're totally clueless.
No, they don't. They have no idea. Well, you know, the thing with the housing, Sharon, what's interesting is that, you know, the housing market is heating up again. Now, it hasn't gone berserk as far as like it did back in 2005 and 2006. But now Obama is saying that he wants them to lower the standards for mortgages again. He's trying to wind it back up again and have it collapse again. I mean, remember, these bankers, they only have so many, you know, tricks in their tool chest. And the
That's
fiat
true.
Currency and the derivatives and all of the stuff they're doing with quantitative easing, it was all to increase the M1 money supply or the money in circulation, because back when the economy collapsed in 2007, the total amount of currency in circulation, the M1, the money that was in currency, trading hands, was less than $1 trillion. And yes, you heard me that right. Everything else was digital. The actual dollars in currency was $1 trillion. And so what happened is when everybody started running short on cash and we started having bank runs and everything else, they all became insolvent. There wasn't enough credit. All the money had been put out as credit, but not as actual currency. They had leveraged themselves too far. Some of the banks were going 40 to 1 because they gotten rid of the Glass-Steagall. And so what happened is 40 to 1 means that they had $1 in savings, they could loan $40 out on the $1. And that's what happened. And of course, the derivatives take it even further. That goes exponential past that. And we've got, what, $1.52 quadrillion, which is $2,000 trillion in derivative exposure nationwide, and internationally, and we're the bank that controls all the money and the fiat currency, and we're the bank that has the global currency, and now they're fixing it. Now China wants to compete with us on that. If that happens, we're going to be in trouble. Oh, here's something you'll understand, Sharon. Germany is planning to stop building new wind farms and windmills. Oh, tell them about what's happened to Germany, how the beautiful country, so what they've done over there.
Oh, you got these beautiful rolling hills, these old countrysides, the old German towns, the farmhouses, picturesque views, just on and on and on. And then not only the windmills, you see these fields of all this canola, which is pretty, but I don't really, care for the canola. But then you go around the mountain and you come up and you see all these huge, contemporary, futuristic-looking windmills that look almost like that emblem on a Mercedes car, and they're tacky. They just ruin the whole countryside, and they're everywhere. Sometimes I think we've counted up to like over 100 just in one area, and they totally destroy the looks of it. I mean, if they had, like in Holland, the old windmills, it would really look good with the architecture, but it's just ruining Germany.
Well, no, it has. Well, you'll be driving around, and suddenly you'll run into like 100 of these giant windmills everywhere, and you're like, this is absolutely ridiculous. This is absolutely ridiculous that this is actually happening. That the beautiful Alps of southern Germany and Austria are basically covered up with windmills. And I mean, these things are hundreds of feet tall. They're giant, giant, giant structures, and they kill birds. They explode. We've seen them burning over there before. I mean, it's crazy what happens when these things actually malfunction. And see, that's sad because, you watch the movies like The Sound of Music and you see the beautiful countrysides in Austria, and suddenly you get in a situation where you see these mountains are completely covered in these super ugly windmills. And so finally, Germany has said they've had enough of that now, and they're not going to be building anymore because I guarantee you, Sharon, they've gotten to the point where people have had enough of it, and they've told them no more. Here's another interesting article. Now students are being forced to collateralize their student loans by using them as from a future job. In other words, they're being forced to sign papers that their future jobs and their paychecks will automatically be garnished to pay the student loans. Unbelievable. They're collateralizing their student loans with future job income. And it says, emerging corner of the educational finance industry, such programs help ease the often crushing debt many American college students face after graduation. Proponents say a small number of lenders have tested the model in recent years, but Purdue is the first American university to officially embrace the concept. He said, it looked like to us like it was interesting enough that somebody ought to try it, said Mitch Daniels, the university president and former governor of Indiana. For some students, this may be a very preferable option to some of the private loans that are out there. Are you kidding me? They're going to allow you to sign over future income from your job. This is debt slavery, Sharon. I mean, this is indentured servitude. This is awful. What do you think?
Well, you become a slave to your education. I mean, these kids, when they started out, just dreaming and thinking what they wanted to do for a living and their education, I mean, that they actually want to further themselves to more advanced education, they didn't know this was going to happen. They didn't decide we're going to get up one morning and we're going to go into $100,000 worth of debt because we're going to be this or we're going to be that. And it's just so sad that they've, the educational system, they prey on these kids. I mean, they make it so they almost like coerce them into doing this, Ted. It's like an illness.
Well, what it does, Sharon, it just shows everybody who they really are, who these bankers are, and what they would expect from everybody, because they want debt slaves. That's what they want. And
don't
the sad
they have
part,
enough money already?
It's not the money.
They don't
care about the money. They already have. They can print as much money as they want. It's the greed and it's the power. That's why Jesus said, the love of money is the root of all evil. These people are not givers or takers. These people
are
Luciferians.
Control freaks.
They're Luciferians. They want to enslave everybody so they can have more abortions, kill more people, and do all of the stuff they want to feed these demons. This is what the whole thing's about. Anyhow, it all goes back to that anyhow. And so the crazy thing about all of this is that people don't want to think about what's really going on because it's so negative, Sharon, that everybody pretends like it's not happening. Just let's pretend like it's not happening. If we pretend like it doesn't happen, it won't do it. Oh, by the way, Saudi Arabia gets a credit rating downgrade. That's interesting, I thought. The downgrades follow the crushing decline in oil prices, which have battered the country's fiscal picture, even as it continues to pump out petroleum at a steady clip. And also, the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, has cut 2016 global economic growth outlook to 3.2%. That's a lie. The IMF is another Rothschild subsidiary. It's not going to be anywhere near that growth. We're still in a recession. We haven't pulled out of it. They go on to say the downward revision is the fourth straight cut in a year, putting world economic growth just a hair over last year's at 3.1 and only marginally above the 3.0 rate the IMF has previously considered a technical recession globally. So we are doing bad as far as the fundamentals and what's going on. Remember, we have 100 million people in the United States out of work, over 50 million people getting government subsidies right now, and it's a mess. It's an incredible, incredible mess. By the way, the Gulf Corporation Council and the Gulf Corporation states are actually borrowing $285 billion to $300 million to contain budget shortfalls because of lower oil prices. I thought I'd mention that. And the U.S. government bonds pull back before new debt supply. The looming new debt sales are also weighted on the bond market. The U.S. Treasury is scheduled to sell $24 billion of three-year notes Tuesday, $20 billion of 10-year notes Wednesday, and $12 billion of 30-year bonds on Thursday. And crazy thing about this, a lot of times the people that show up to buy these are the Federal Reserve banks themselves. They're actually printing the money and buying their own debt, which is okay with me because that doesn't cause the American people to have any more debt, and we can simply default on these guys and not pay it. It's kind of like Puerto Rico said, we're not going to pay all this debt. How about that? Too bad. And what are they going to do? It's just crazy what's going on with all of that. We've had the weakest deposit growth since 1969. It means higher rates up in India. India is doing very, very bad as far as deposits and what they're doing as far as in their country right now. So, you know, and cash is fleeing South Africa in the longest run of outflow since 99. Money poured out of the country for the 16th consecutive quarter, the final 3 months of 2015. So this whole thing is getting worse and worse globally. China's first quarter GDP growth seen at 6.7% on year, slowest since 2009. That's another lie. All China does is lie about their growth. There's no way they're having 6.9% growth. It's impossible because everybody has stopped buying a lot of their products. Ships are running empty. The Baltic Dry Index is the lowest it's been in years. In fact, I think it ever has been. And so the craziest thing is the banks keep lying and lying and lying, and China keeps lying and lying and lying, saying how good it is. That's the problem that we have right now, Sharon. That's what we talked about with that very first video that I read, that Alexandra wrote, is that this thing is not getting any better. It's getting worse, and nobody wants to talk about it. And I came out with this story at the beginning of the year, along with Gerald Celente, and he said the same thing. He said, when they can't fix this anymore, when quantitative easing won't work anymore, the only choice these guys have to do is to take us to war. That's the only place they have left. And so it's going to be interesting what's going to happen here.
Wow, that's powerful words there.
Well, no, I mean, but you know, but think about this. I mean, you know, it just seems to be, you know,
makes sense.
Yeah, it's just you know, it's just amazing, you know, what's happening all over the United States and all over the planet right now. Let me give you a couple more stories. This is again, this is on the economy. David Cameron finally releases tax data after the Panama Papers backlash. Mr. Cameron has said that he and his wife Samantha sold their interest, of course he did, and his father funds 4 months before he came find prime minister. Okay, whatever. I'm sure he could have put that into a dummy corporation in 2010. This is interesting. The extreme sacrifice Detroit parents make to access better schools. Mother and son typically arrive at the University Prep and Math Science School, a well-regarded charter school in the Michigan Science District, around 7:30, and wait with their son until class begins at 7:50. Then she makes her way back home, the same two buses, until reaching Brightmoor at 9:30. It takes 52 miles, 5 to 6 hours every single day, taking these kids to school in Detroit to get them out of the districts, Sharon, that are nothing but drugs and crime. I mean, this is insane to me that parents are having to do this in Detroit, Michigan, not to mention all the lead contamination in the infrastructure. So it's really kind of sad. It's really, really, really sad. Here's another author from Austria. Austria just announced a 54% haircut of senior creditors in the first bail-in under new European rules. Listen to this. This is important. And that today, following a decision by the Austrian banking regulator, the Finance Market Geschäft, or the Financial Market Authority, Austria officially became the first European country to use a new law under the framework imposed by the Bank of the European Recovery and Resolution Directive to share losses of a failed bank with senior creditors as it slashed the value of the debt owned by Heda Asset Resolution AG. In other words, they took the people's money in the bank as the bank defaulted. Unbelievable.
Wow. I mean, that could easily happen here, Ted.
Well, that's because they're telling us now the money that we have in the bank doesn't belong to us. It belongs to the bank. And that once we turn it over to the bank, that at that point in time, it's just the way it is. Now, real quick, Sharon, let's talk a little bit about Lana. Let's talk about some stuff as far as prenatal nutrition. Yeah, how important is it for these mothers who are pregnant, who are getting ready to get pregnant, how important is it for them to realize that they have to be eating the right foods and doing the right things and living the right kind of life? I mean, how important is that, Sharon?
Well, you know, the old adage is you are what you eat and you become what you eat. And I know a lot of our listeners out there are new parents. They're trying to get pregnant. A lot of our listeners are grandparents. They have children that are getting pregnant. And you say, well, why is it getting so hard to get pregnant? Why is the infertility so high right now, and the fertility rates are so low, and, you know, why is this, why is that? Well, there's a lot of reasons. I mean, you know, we're talking about the immunizations, we're talking about the fluoride, we're talking about the chemicals, we're talking about the shots these children are getting, not just what they're getting, but what their parents have gotten. And it's just kind of like a snowballing effect. And there's so many things you can do to counteract it. There's so many things you can do over a period of years getting ready for pregnancy that'll help. And, you know, just simple things. For instance, like iron. You know, we tell people to use blackstrap molasses. Really simple things. And that's what's so neat about Health Masters is our whole team, which is mainly family operated with a few of us that aren't family, but our whole team, we are educated in this. We live it. We breathe it. We do it. Our passion is to help people. And Lana said the other day, she goes, you know, I've learned so much. And she's been writing emails and blogs and stuff on this. I said, so Lana, you've got a book here. She goes, well, I've learned so much. I want to share this with people. I want everybody to have the easy pregnancy I've had and to know what I've done. And the things that were a challenge for me, like the nausea and the vomiting in the beginning, what I learned the deficiencies were, what we all learned, and I can help people and be a blessing to them. And that's what it's all about, that we can help you, that we're down there 5 days a week, 9 to 5, answering phone calls, taking orders, helping people get set free from sickness and disease, and showing them what they can do to support a healthy immune system, which is so important when you're pregnant. There's just so many things that you can do naturally that you don't have to treat all this like an illness. And you go in the hospital and you go in there and you're scheduled and you don't have that baby and you're on and you're causing them to go behind schedule and they've got all these other babies that are due. You might as well just plan on getting an epidural, being cut open and having a C-section. It's gotten epidemic levels now. That's why Lana said she wouldn't step foot in a hospital unless there was an emergency, you know, with a baby, but she wouldn't step foot in a hospital as far as having a baby because she's not sick. She doesn't have a disease. She's treating it as though a gift from God, a miracle from God. And when we experience that and we see that, it can be so wonderful. And not that it's perfect, but it's just a God way of doing things, and it's so much better for the child. You have to remember, the baby it's not about us right now. It's about this baby's health, this new child that's coming into the world, to give it the best prenatal, the best delivery, the best you can possibly do for this child to give them a head start. And then we choose not to immunize. Now, that's your choice, but I highly recommend you read, you investigate, you research, because none of our children have been immunized. Our first grandchild has not been immunized. They have not been a sick a day in their life except for head colds. We don't have them in the doctor all the time. We don't have all these doctor bills. We don't even have insurance because of stupid Obamacare, I guess. But the thing is, you know, they're nursed for at least a year. We don't feed them any food from 6 to 8 months at least, so their little digestive systems aren't developed even to digest food, much less they don't get meat all the way from the age maybe up to 8, if you can go that long, because again, the digestive enzymes are not strong enough in there to digest the animal protein. I mean, it goes on and on. Even going now you can get organic diapers at Target, keeping the chlorine off their skin. I mean, if you really want to do it, sure, it may be a little more money, but cut corners somewhere else. Do this for these child, because guys, it's worse than it's ever been as far as the environment, as far as what these children are being brought into, and we need to give them every fighting chance that we possibly can to be ahead of the game, not to make it harder for them and more of a challenge for them in life, because they're going to have plenty of challenges. This is not the world that we were raised in. And if you can share this with your children, not to preach at them, not to control them, not to tell them what to do, because they've got to make their own decisions. They're adults now. But to be there as a support group. And we are so blessed, because Ted and I were just saying, we've got a huge extended family, in-laws and everything. We are all on the same page. We all take our supplements. I mean, even Lana's parents, who are missionaries in Ecuador, we call it the Ecuador office down there, because they're always getting people on supplements, because they believe in what we do. And we are so blessed that we all are in agreement that we don't have to argue about immunizations. We don't have to argue about when they get older if they're on goat's milk. Everybody's in agreement. And Ted, I mean, we've heard it all. We've heard families get into fights and everything about this stuff. And we're just so blessed because we're all in agreement. There's no other choice. We don't know any different, do we?
Well, and that's what we do. It's just it's what our lifestyle is. And let me tell you something, guys. The time to decide whether you're going to immunize your children or not immunize your children is not the time when the child is born, when you're sitting
in the
waiting room and you're trying to make a decision if you want the child to get a hepatitis shot as soon as it's born. That's not the time to do this. See, you never want to make these decisions while you're under duress. You always want to make these decisions in advance. Always, when you first get pregnant, find out about immunizations, do the research, make a decision. But don't get yourself into a knot in which you're trying to make a decision at the last minute, and the doctor's screaming at you, the nurses are screaming at you, mm-hmm. the hospital administration staff are screaming at you, trying to get you to sign papers. Don't do that. Say, well, no, I don't want to do that. Well, what do you mean you don't want to do that? Well, the easiest way to do it is, look, if we decide, we're going to leave this decision up to the pediatrician as far as what immunizations to give this child, or the doctor, and not here in the hospital right now, we're not going to do it right now. So, no, the answer is no, we're not going to do that. And that makes it easier. Now, if you really want to go a step further, just use a midwife and do that. Now, Sharon has said that we didn't have any health insurance. That's correct. Our health insurance, it kept escalating until it was almost $2,000 a month. We had not used the health insurance in, 10 years. And so, I mean, we were spending, what is that? $20,000, $200,000 of money. It was insane how much money we'd spent over a 10-year period because of the four kids. And finally, about 5 years ago, I said, this is stupid. This whole thing is stupid. I said, number one, if they told me I had some horrible disease, I'm not going to listen to them and do what they say anyhow. I'm just going to do what I know to do from a natural standpoint to get rid of it. That's all I'm going to do. And I said, we have health insurance on our cars because if we get an accident, we're completely covered with that, with an umbrella. I said, in addition to that, if we have an accident at work, we're covered on a workman's comp. I said, why are we doing this? Why are we paying all of this money for this health insurance? And so we decided not to do it. Of course, out of the first few years, it was great. Now we're having to pay penalties with Obamacare, but it's still much, much cheaper at this point with the penalties than it was without them. And of course, if Trump comes in, he'll get rid of Obamacare. The problem, Sharon, is they're not going to allow Trump to go in. This complete and total circus that we've seen now in the Republican and Bernie Sanders wins all of the primaries. Hillary gets the nomination. Hillary gets the votes. Trump wins them all. Doesn't matter. Cruz or Kasich or Bubble Boy gets the votes. I mean, it's the nuttiest thing I've ever seen in my entire life of how they don't care. And then they came right out and said a month ago, it doesn't matter who you vote for. we're going to decide who's going to be the elector, who's going to be the person, so then we can decide who's going to win the general election. Everything is rigged. And this is part of a big club. And guess what, folks? You ain't in it. I ain't in it. Okay? You know, I don't have a ticket to the underground bunker complex in case we've got some kind of meteorite coming in or tidal waves headed this way. I don't have a ticket. You don't have a ticket. Okay? We're not part of the club. We're not part of the secret society. We're not part of the Bohemian Grove folks. We're not part of Bilderbergers. We're not part of the Council of 300. We're not part of any of this stuff. Okay? We only thing we can do is, like Sharon said, be family and stay part of the family. These controllers that run the world, it's all about greed. It's all about Lucifer. It's all about money. It's all about slavery. It's all about sex. It's all about magic arts. It's all about drinking blood. These guys are blood drinkers. They're a bunch of weirdo, Satan, blood drinking, witches, warlocks. That's who these guys are who run this planet. And it's been that way ever since Nimrod, and God had enough of it, and, you know, Genesis chapter 6 and flushed the whole thing. But these fallen angels that were up to all this mischief, they were here before and afterwards, according to the word, what it says in Genesis chapter 6, and they came back to do the same thing again. This is what they do. You know, they're evil, evil, evil entities, and this is what they want. They want to enslave the entire human population. The problem is there's too many of us now. They don't need as much food, I don't guess. I guess the Bible says that Satan runs about as a roaring lion seeking those who may devour, but now they've got too much food, so now they want to cut back on the population. And one of the best ways of doing it is through the immunizations. When the midwife tells us one of the easiest deliveries she's ever had, it's a first-time delivery for Lana. She hadn't had like 3 or 4 kids, the first time. And it was so simple. The whole pregnancy was so easy. You know, and wants to know how in the world, okay, we're telling you guys, I'm going to have Lana write like a report on this. We'll make it available
She's working on it.
We'll make it available on Amazon, on Kindle, make it available for like $2.99 or something like that, a full maternity report on exactly what Lana did, and we're going to let everybody learn real, real quick how to do all of this stuff from a natural standpoint. I remember sharing years ago, oh my gosh, when we were doing the seminars, and I was doing sometimes 40 radio talk shows a week during peak weeks, like with Thanksgiving and Christmas, and I was talking about nutrition on these huge, huge shows. I remember one thing I learned about 20 years ago that you never mentioned, that you never say is immunizations. You never say it. You remember that, Sharon? I made a mistake. Well, you would never be backed on. I mean, you would be eviscerated. But this was pre-internet, so at least you'd have to worry about all that. Mm-hmm. But you were not allowed to mention immunizations at all. At all. Never. You could not say the word immunizations. It was such a forbidden subject that you couldn't mention it. Because the Rothschild...
Just look at the thing. Just look at the thing with the movie with Vax with
Robert De Niro.
Robert De Niro. I mean, just look what that's done, Ted. I mean, it just gets everybody fired up. You know, one thing I wanted to say though, when you were talking about what's going on and you know, we're not part of the bunker club and all that, which I thought that was kind of funny. But you know, one thing we are a part of is we're part of the family of God. We've read the end of the book. We know how it ends. We know that we've all got to get off our lazy butts and start preaching Jesus, getting people saved, getting more people involved in the kingdom of God, using the name of Jesus, because that's where we have our power and authority, and the more we have, the more power and authority we have. We still need to be praying for President Trump. We still need to be asking God to protect him. We still need to be praying that the truth is exposed in Washington, that all these liars are exposed, that they get what's coming to them, and that we win. And we're not going to be moved by what we see, but we know that we know that we know that we know the end is coming, but we know that we have the victory. Not that we aren't going to have some challenges, but we've got the victory. And that's what the good news is. We've got to stay on top of this and know that what's coming may not be good, but God is good all the time. He's going to take care of us. And if you please him and do his commandments, then everything else will work out. I mean, I like the movie that we're in, Ted. I wouldn't change it. But serving God and waking up every day and putting your feet on the ground saying, Lord, this is a day you made. I'm so excited that I can walk by faith. I don't know what's going to happen today, but all I know is you're in control, and I want you to use me, and I want to be in your perfect, perfect will. And I mean, it's amazing. It's like a supernatural life. And then look at the way we have grandkids. People are always saying, why do good things always happen to you guys? Why do y'all have this family with in-laws and everything? It's like y'all are all connected. I said, because this is what we expect. This is what we speak. Our frequency is all the same. We're team players. When one's down, we build the other one up. When one needs help, we help them. It's not a selfishness. It's a team effort. And if y'all could get a hold of that, all this backbiting and fighting in these families and jealousy and envy and all this garbage would just go away if you all put Jesus first in the family. The ones that aren't saved, pray that God's going to send laborers the gospel and get them saved. And you can have this incredible movie that God's, where we're in. And we get to be the stars of our own movie. But you gotta want it, and you gotta decide that. And it's easy, it's not easy all the time, but boy, is it exciting, right, Ted?
Well, no, it is. I mean, that's the whole thing. I mean, we've learned. Now we openly discuss vaccines. We openly discuss it on Hagman. We openly discuss it on our emails. We openly discuss it on the website. We openly discuss it on our show. We openly discuss it on the links that are at healthmasters.com. And guys, listen to me, please. You've heard this entire show now for almost an hour with no commercial interrupts. We don't do that. I mean, I got people calling me all the time wanting to sponsor this show, putting commercial spots on the show. Mm-hmm. My response is always no, 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 no. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to pull a GCN where every 6 or 7 minutes you got another commercial, another 4 or 5 minutes commercial, another 4 or 5 minutes commercials. I'm not doing that. I don't do it. Look, guys, we're self-funded. The Health Masters pays for this show, so we ask you to support it. We ask you to order something. I mean, right now we're having a special right now with you can use a coupon. It's Doug Book, D-O-U-G for Doug Hagman. Doug Book, B-O-O-K. And what it'll do, it'll give you a free book with any order at healthmasters.com. A free book with any order at healthmasters.com. It's called Doug Book. You put it in the coupon code and the book will be Breakthrough Health, our latest book. And we'll send it to you absolutely free with an order. I mean, if you order two toothpaste.
Yep. If the orders are over $100, they get free shipping on top of that.
That's right. That's exactly right. This book has 45 chapters on it, which covers pretty much everything that you want to talk about. So, yes, it's a phenomenal book. It's a phenomenal product. It's a phenomenal life. But you got to have the right stuff. You got to have the right nutrients, the right foods. Go sign up at healthmasters.com. This is also free. Healthmasters.com. When you sign up, you can get a free newsletter sent right to your inbox, right through email. We don't mail them out because it's too expensive to do it free, but you can do it right through the emails. And then, of course, we'll give you the free book with any order. If you order $100, it's free book with free shipping. Or if you order just the tube of toothpaste, it's like $5 or $6 with a free book, and then you pay like $9 shipping. So it's just what we do here to try to bless you guys. And thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for buying the highest quality nutritional supplements in the world. We appreciate it. Let me go ahead and cover a few more stories real quick, because we only have a couple minutes left. This is interesting. It says vaccine uptake, this is as far as people taking a vaccine, reaches all-time lows.
Woohoo!
All-time lows. But now the policy for the government is shifting to mandatory enforcement. They're going to force you and make you a criminal if you don't take the vaccines, and they're going to put you in jail or take your children away from you. They're going to force you under penalty of going to jail to do this stuff. They're already starting this in California. Now they're preventing the kids from even going into school. No exemptions. Vaccine uptake reaches all-time lows. That's because 1 in 48 children now have autism. Another little interesting article. Drugs in drinking water. Don't ask and officials won't tell. The lead crisis in Flint, Michigan has drawn national attention to the deadly and offer underreported risks in public water supply. Thanks to the chemical, agriculture, and pharmaceutical industries, the antiquated water systems of America are inhibiting a witch brew of drugs and chemicals, often without realizing it. The contaminants get into water through human drug waste and sewage. Medicine flushed down the toilets, agricultural runoff, and a wide use of endocrine disruptors like pesticides, flame retardants, and plastic-related compounds like BPA. All of this has been in the water, and we drink it. Guys, listen to me, please. You know, get yourself a free book and order one of my distillers. I mean, it is healthmasters.com. We have the best water distillers. And what distillers do is they actually separate the water from the contaminants. Everything else separates contaminants from water, filters. This doesn't do this. This leaves the contaminants in the bottom of a boil tank. It boils the water, leaving all this trash and filth in the bottom of the tank. And it goes through a condensing coil that's made of stainless steel that has what's called volatile gas vents in there. So if you have fluorine or chlorine in there, and it boils off and it goes into vapor. It goes out to those volatile gas vents and it doesn't get re-put back into the water again. That's super, super important. Most distillers don't have that. And then it goes into a stainless steel holding tank. This is what you have to do. You've got to get distillation systems that work and work really well. Okay, another article from an Austrian newspaper. It says, it is now time to discuss whether Islam should be completely and totally banned in Europe. This is a statement.
A little late, isn't it?
A little bit late. A statement by Wolfgang Felder in the daily Austrian newspaper Österreich has created outrage among local Muslims. In a recent edition, the journalist has stated, now we must permit discussions about whether or not Islam as such should be banned in Europe. According to the Islamic faith community in Austria, Felder is thus attacking the central human right of religious freedom, and the Felder statement should not be passed in silence, a spokesperson of the Islamic community in Austria in a press release. They're unbelievably angry that he's saying this. And see, I don't believe that he's ever going to get that done. But what they need to do is stop bringing in all these migrants for cheap labor, because Germany's already proven that the vast majority of the migrants that they brought in for cheap labor from these Muslim countries, they end up going on welfare, and they never, ever work in Germany anyhow, and they become a burden to the taxpayers in Germany. So now Germany is, or this is Angela Merkel again, this lady should be taken out back and strung up by the neck. She's just ordering raids in homes of citizens, writing anti-Muslim migrant social media posts. I'm going to read this. You say something bad on Facebook, you say something bad on Twitter. Okay? They're going to raid your home, and they're going to search your home, they're going to seize your stuff, and they're going to lock you up. Unbelievable, because they have posted anti-Muslim views online. Germany is a country that has been overrun with teeming hordes of Muslim migrants brought in by Angela Merkel. Thousands of German citizens have been attacked, raped, and brutalized. But the Berlin police are doing massive large-scale raids on internet users this past week. All of this is Angela Merkel's disaster. Guys, thank you. We love you. We honor you. We appreciate you. We thank you again for supporting healthmasters.com. Go to the website, get a copy of your free book. Just put your order anything and get just a Doug book, and you'll get a book for free. It's like if you get $100, it's like a 20% discount. Guys, we love you. Thank you. And we'll talk to you tomorrow afternoon at 3:00. Mr. Papa Austin will be with me again live 3 to 4. Sharon, thanks for being on tonight.
It's a privilege.
God bless. Good guy.